1 Corinthians chapter number 10, 1 Corinthians chapter number 10, and Brother Zach is looking for an opportunity somehow to get a Bible study going at CCSU over in Newington. If you know anybody that's there, that's especially anybody that's a believer already, that kind of helps get the ball rolling on some things, but make sure you stop by the table we went over there. He played them in football, and so I guess, that's a good way to get a burden for somebody, is to go beat on them a little while, and then go and try to win them to the Lord. But that's a good thing, and so you might know someone there. I know he was telling me this afternoon some things. There's a Zoom Bible study that they've done with some college students at different campuses where they don't have something on campus, and that's been profitable and helpful, and I think it's good. I think college young people in those campuses need, if they're saved, they need encouragement. They need to know there's other young people like them, and it helps. And then, of course, the outreach is a wonderful thing. But 1 Corinthians chapter number 10, going to begin reading in verse number 11. The Bible says, "Now all these things," we'll talk about these things in a minute, "happened unto them for in samples, and they are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come. Wherefore, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it. Wherefore, my dearly beloved, flee from idolatry. I speak as to wise men. Judge ye what I say." Dear Lord, thank you for the privilege to come together to open your word. Please help us now. I pray that you would work in our hearts, that you would convict, that you would draw. Lord, if there's someone here today, even this evening, that's not saved, that's listening online, that they would understand their need for a Savior, and they would trust you. And Lord, those that are saved, I pray that you would help us. In Jesus' name, amen. Last Wednesday, I didn't really intend, the Lord kind of connected a couple of things. But last Wednesday, we talked about the proving of the children of Israel there in Exodus chapter number 20. And I wasn't really thinking about that, and I happened upon this, and the Lord really just kind of caught my attention by it. So it really goes along with, unintentionally, but it goes along with what we talked about last week in the proving of the children of Israel. He tells us here in 1 Corinthians 10, he refers back to in the passage that we read, the them that he is talking about is the children of Israel in the wilderness. And he tells us that what happened to them, the things that played out, were our examples. And he uses that word, and in samples he uses, that they were examples to us, to things to beware of things to watch out for. He begins, let's take a look back at the first part of chapter number 10. He began with a statement of totality. Look at verse number 1. He says, "Brethren, I would not that ye should be ignorant how that all our fathers were under the cloud, and all passed under the sea, and all were baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea." That means they were, immersed in that cloud and in the sea. They walked through, and the sea was all around them there. But how many of them in the nation that came out of Egypt went through all those things? How many of them? All, right? You say, I don't know. Some people say there's this number of children of Israel that came out of Egypt, and there's this number of the children of Israel. There's different ideas and numbers. Well, Bible doesn't give us an exact number right here, but we do know this, that everyone that came out of Egypt went into the cloud, and everyone that came out of Egypt went through the sea. They all went through the same things. But then he made a statement that focused not on the total, but on some specific ones. Look at what he said in verse number 5. He says, "But with many of them, God was not well pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness." So you have all of them that came out of Egypt went through the cloud, and they went through the sea. They all went through that, but not all of them was God well pleased with. Right. So he said all of them had these same experiences, but there were many of them that were not pleasing to the Lord. At the end of chapter number 9, I think the end of chapter 9 connects right into chapter number 10. And at the end of chapter 9, Paul expressed this. He says in verse number 25, "And every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. I therefore so run, not as uncertainly, so fight I, not as one that beateth the air, but I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway." And then he begins to tell us about the children of Israel and how all of them that came out of Egypt went through the cloud and went through the sea, but some of them fell. Some of them blew it. Some of them, he says even here that there was many of them, not all of them, but there were many of them that he was not well pleased with. The children of Israel were found pleasing to the Lord or not pleasing to the Lord based on how they handled temptation. Go on down to where we read now. We'll look at verse number 13. He says, "Therefore hath no temptation taken you but such as is common to man." In between what we read, he talks about some of their failures and their shortcomings. They were pleasing to the Lord, or they were not pleasing to the Lord, based on how they handled the testing of the Lord, or the general temptation that they faced. Temptation in the Bible, that's the emphasis of verse 13, has two different meanings. It has to do with the solicitation to evil. You know, hey kid, that candy bar looks good. You know, kid walking through the candy store and the visage of the little red devil angel on their shoulder. Hey, that candy bar looks good. Nobody will know it if you take it. And that kid looks around and goes, oh, the candy bar's there. The shop owner's in the back, sticks it in their pocket, and walks out of the store. That's temptation. And I don't think most of in here are pulled by stealing a Snickers bar from Cumberland Farms. I hope not. But there are things that tempt us in those ways, that pull us in those ways. James describes that temptation in James chapter 1 and verses 14 and 15. He says, "Every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. And then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death." Friend, we need to beware temptation to do evil. You know, everybody in here, Satan knows your weakness. He knows some area. He knows something that now he's not all knowing. He's not omniscient. He's not omnipotent, but he does know more than we do. And I think that just the time that has transpired, now this is a little theoretical, I guess, but I think there is a pattern in the Bible and history that shows us this is true, that he can look back in his files, as it were, and go, you know what, John Smith, I know there was a guy just like John Smith in 1343, and here's how we got him. You see, he knows us better than we know us. In that way, our patterns, our how we act. And he knows how to appeal to the lust of our particular flesh. You know, there are certain temptations when it comes to a solicitation to evil. There are certain things that somebody sitting over here that they might deal with, they might struggle with, they might really fight with. But then there's somebody over here, they can be around the same thing and it not bother them one bit. Somebody might struggle with anger. And there's these things that set them off and set off their anger, and they really struggle with that, and they fight with that. They might get advice and counseling on how to deal with that, and they really struggle with that. And then there's somebody else, just the most laid back person in the world. Nothing ever gets them angry. But you know what? As sure as the sun rises in the east and sets in the west, that person that might be the most laid back person in the world, they might not particularly struggle with anger, but there's something that they struggle with. So there is that solicitation to evil. There is also, though, temptation that is testing. James also describes that in James 1, 2, and 3. He says, "Count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. And so there is that trial, what we looked at last week in Exodus chapter number 20, where the children of Israel were standing there, the Ten Commandments were being given, and the Bible said that that dramatic scene that played out there, that God did that to prove them. Remember that?
Yeah, that's right.
That's that kind of testing. Well, in 1 Corinthians chapter number 10, he highlights some of their failures. And I think what we see is in verse number 13, when he talks about there is no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. I think that that word there encompasses all things that temptation can be. Look at the things that he highlights about the children of Israel, lessons that we need to learn. In verse number 7, he says, neither be ye idolaters. See, they were given, the children of Israel in the wilderness were given, and the stories that we have of them are recorded for our help and for a pattern for us to look after and things to avoid and things to follow. And he tells them, hey, listen, don't be idolaters. You know, the Corinthian believers struggled very much with idolatry. There were pagan temples that were there that practiced all sorts of wickedness, and that was, those people were saved out of those backgrounds and saved out of those things. And you know, God saved them and God redeemed them, but there was still a pull and a struggle there. And he's warning them, listen, don't fall back into that. Don't go back into that. Don't be like one of the children of Israel with whom God was not well pleased. He warns them against the fornication in verse number 8, neither let us commit fornication. That was a part of even their worship there in the temple, in the pagan worship there. He warned them in verse number 9 against tempting Christ. He said, neither let us tempt Christ, as some of them also tempted. And they were destroyed of serpents in the wilderness. He said, you don't challenge God about things. You don't question God about things and his, you know, demanding from him that you think you need what you think you need. No, that's, they did that, didn't they?
Right.
See, they were tested in those ways. Remember last week we looked at it. They didn't have water and they were thirsty. You know why they were thirsty? They were being tested. They were being tempted in that way. And God used it to prove them, like we spoke about last week. He said, be careful about your murmuring. They are warned against murmuring, verse number 10. Neither murmur ye, as also some murmured. Don't complain about things. You know, that's I think different things affect us at different stages of life. Young people, don't fall into a pattern of complaining about things. You know, you'll learn too soon that there's a lot that you don't know that you think you know. And it's easy to complain about things that you think you know about until you've been there. You know, if you have parents, and you're a child and you've never been a parent, it's easy to complain about a parent until you've actually become a parent. It's easy to complain about a teacher in a classroom until you've been there. You know, there's a thing there. And you know what? We're all susceptible to it, aren't we? And he warns against those things, especially murmuring against God. He warns against those things. And why is that? Because with many of them, God was not well pleased. They all came through the cloud. They all came through the Red Sea. They all experienced those things. They all drank. There's many other things we could get into. They all drank the water from the rock. They all experienced those things. But many of them, God wasn't well pleased. Why? They didn't handle temptation the right way. They, through all of this, God gives a promise in temptation. God makes a promise to his people during the time of tempting. I want you to notice, first of all, we're now focusing in more closely on the passage we read. I want you to notice, first of all, there's a specific warning, a very specific warning. Look at it in verse number 12. It says, wherefore, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. There's the general warning there is a good one, right? Take heed lest he fall. That's a good, you know, concept. You know, be careful where you go. If you go walking out on the walking trail at night, you know, it's probably not a great idea because you might not be able to see a stick, or you might not be able to see something and you might fall. And so, hey, be careful lest you fall. Hey, Christian, take heed lest you fall. That's a good warning, but he's a little more specific than just that general warning here. He adds to it, he says, wherefore let him that thinketh he standeth take heed, lest he fall. You know when we are most susceptible to temptation is when we think we're doing the best. That's why it might be good preaching this to a Wednesday night crowd. You know, I'm in church on Wednesday night. I'm doing good. You know what? It's good to be in church on Wednesday night. I'd say the Apostle Paul would have been in church on Wednesday night. I really believe that. I really believe that if the Apostle Paul stopped by Southington, Connecticut, and he heard Central Baptist Church was having a service on Wednesday night, I think he'd be right here with us. I do. Amen. But you know what? You know what he said? Remember, he said, I keep my body, chapter 9, under my body and bring it into subjection, lest by any means that I should, that when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. Do you think he thought he had arrived? No. I mean, that's the Apostle Paul. Right. He said, wherefore let he that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. We never get to a point where we are not susceptible to temptation. We never get to a point where we are immune to the tempting power of the devil. Do you think, and without getting into it in detail, do you think that when David had things established and had things set and the men were out at war and he felt comfortable enough to be back in the palace and to be there, where he probably shouldn't have been, do you think he had fallen into this trap of taking heed, of thinking that he was standing, thinking that he was okay? And that's right when he fell on his face. The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 16 and verse 18, pride goeth before destruction, and an haughty spirit before a fall. As soon as we think that we have life figured out, a temptation is sure to come our way to remind us that we do not. This is one reason, going back, kind of connecting the two thoughts, this is one reason we need to be proven, like he mentioned with the nation of Israel. This is one reason why we need to be tested along and along, because we would be outright insufferable if we weren't. We'd cruise through life thinking, I've got all this figured out, I've got it all under control. But right when we're at that point is where God will send something our way to remind us, you don't have it quite figured out, and you don't have it quite under control. Remember, the children of Israel were examples here. They had everything going for them, but they still continually succumbed to temptation. I mean, come on. If you saw God part the Red Sea, and you got across it and looked back and saw the Egyptians coming through the Red Sea, and the wheels falling off the chariots, and the water coming down, and God single-handedly, without you raising a finger, as it were, wiped out the Red Sea, don't you think you would feel pretty confident about things? But they too often forgot that their confidence came from the Lord. It didn't come from Moses. It didn't come from their own ability or their size as a nation. It came from the Lord. And the testings that they dealt with that are highlighted here and that are we're reminded of here are constant reminders that, hey, Israel, they never arrived. And because they succumbed over and over to temptation, with many of them, God was not well pleased. There's a specific warning. He said, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. It's a dangerous place to be for a child of God to think that they have it all figured out. Amen. But God's good. See, his testings are good for us because it reminds us that we don't have it all figured out.
That's right.
I remember when I was 18 or 19 years old, and you think, oh wow, life seems kind of simple. I mean, even not in a haughty sort of way, but I mean, you're starting to think. And I remember thinking when I about hit 30, 28, 29 years old, and I look back and I thought, boy, I wonder what I don't know now that I'm going to know over the next 10 years, because come out of that little humbled. You start going through life a little bit and you realize how, pardon my expression, but you realize how dumb you really are. For me, not you. That's me. That's a confession's good for the soul, okay? Thankfully, God gave me my wife. She got me through it all. But But we need that sometimes to bring us down from where we think we are. And you know what? When God humbles us, it's not a bad thing. It's a good thing. There's a specific warning. But then in verse number 13, there's a very calming assurance. He says, "There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful." Go on down and look at what it says. It says, "But will with the temptation also make a way to escape." See, there's a calming assurance there that he gives us. That, hey, life's full of temptation. You're going to be tempted. Whether even with sin and the flesh is going to be appealed to with that way, or just the testings and trials of life that are going to prove you and are going to test what you are with the Lord and test what you are in your walk with the Lord, you're going to deal with it, but you can rest assured. There's two great assurances here, and they're all based on this principle that God is faithful. Amen. So 2,000 years ago when he gave us this principle, this means that it is true even to this very day because he's faithful. The two assurances are this, that no temptation is so unique that you're the only one that was ever had to deal with it. There is, sometimes we get this woe is me mentality, don't we? Oh, you know, why me? Well, it's not only you. I remember this, my sister lives a long way away. I can tell all sorts of stories about her and nobody can check it. This is exactly true as I remember it. She may have other details, but I remember we were real little. I mean, I was like somewhere, I would say between 5 and 7, somewhere in there. And she would have been somewhere between 3 and 5. You know, she could talk and communicate and be downright annoying. Let's face it. I mean, you know, she was a little sister and a typical little sister in every way, you know, and I'm sure she would say I was a typical big brother in every way, but we were, you know, she was a little girl and, you know, she was a little bit, she liked to whine, she whined a lot, you know, one of those, you know. And we were outside and parents weren't around and we were doing something and I don't remember what it was. I'm sure it was nothing. I mean, I guarantee it was nothing. And she started, oh, you know, and I guess in my mind, I'm thinking, good grief, she's going to get me in trouble. And I got in frustration. I looked at her and I go, "Rachel, why do you whine so much?" And she looked at me and she said, "Well, I can't help it. That's the way God made me. That's what." And, you know, that's funny to think. She actually remembers that. I remind her of it, you know, I say regularly whenever I want to. I remind her of it. But, you know, expressed in her very little way, you know, that's the second kind of temptation here, that, or the second kind of assurance is this, that God knows that what you're able to handle. In other words, you know, there's nothing where for a believer, for a child of God, that we're going to deal with that, you know, we just have no other choice. That's just the way God made me. So I can't help but succumb to that sin. It's just the way I'm made. Wait, God said that there is a way to handle it.
Right.
He said that no temptation is so unique that you're not the only one to deal with it. And he knows what you're able to handle.
Right.
He gives us that promise. The idea that we can't help but fall, verse number 12, "Wherefore let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall." The idea that we can't help but fall is a lie that Satan has caused us to believe, and this excuse is perpetuated by the weakness of the flesh.
Amen.
Now, I'm not promoting any sort of sinless perfection. I know that we're flesh, and I know the reality is there will be shortcomings that we deal with along the way. But the idea that we're going to face anything that we just have no choice but to give into, but to sin, but to quit, but to succumb, that we have no other choice, that is a lie of Satan, and that is perpetuated by the weakness of the flesh. Because God said it's not true. So the idea of, well, just God's not, you know, it's God's not being fair. No, God's faithful.
Amen.
That's what he said. God is faithful.
Amen.
Well, this this burden that I've been put in front of, or this sin that I've drawn to, this whatever it might be, I just, you know, there's just nothing else I can do about it. I'm just going to, you know, just give up, just kind of live with that. No, that's not what the Bible says. God assures us that it is something that he doesn't allow unless there is a way that you can bear it. We have to trust the fact then that God knows what we can handle. That he knows what he can help us with. He knows us better than we know ourselves. You know how we grow as believers? We grow by learning how God can help us handle that which we think we could not handle ourselves. The Bible is full of clarity and clear and clean statements that put everything in perspective. One of those statements is in Hebrews 11:6. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. The very presence of faith means that there is an acknowledgement that I cannot do it on my own. And so if we are going to grow, it is going to take faith. And so we are going to have to deal with things, and we're going to be confronted with things that we cannot deal with within and of ourselves. But what does it require? It requires faith. It requires, Brother Zach preached this morning in our chapel about Peter stepping out there and the Lord calling him to step out on the water, and how God used that in his life to call him to take a step of faith towards him. And then when you take that step of faith, you see God work. So often folks get engulfed by temptation in some way, and they don't get any victory over it because they never try to do anything about it that God wants them to do about it. They never take a step of faith. When they are presented with the step of faith from God's word, this is what God says to do. Why don't you try it? Why don't you do it God's way? No, that won't work. And as soon as we take that attitude, you know what? There's no victory over temptation. No victory. You see, it will take faith to handle, but God tells us that if he gives it to us, he knows exactly what we can deal with. You know, that should be encouraging as well. Somebody in here might be dealing with something. You think, I'm about to be crushed by this thing, whatever this thing might be. You know, hey, God said he's not going to let it come if you can't handle it. Amen. With his help. Now, that's the key. You're not going to handle it under your strength, but with his help. Amen. You know, a child, you think about a child and a parent. A child cannot know what they are capable of handling on their own. But a wise parent helps the child grow by constantly letting them deal with things that they have never handled before. Amen. You know, they milk. They start eating soft, mushy stuff. After a while, they're eating steak. They didn't know they could eat steak until their parent said, "Here, let me help you. Let me help you see that. Let me help you do that." You see, that's how God works us. God grows us through those things. Amen. No one has the right to claim that God has treated them unfairly. That's right. He says it is all common to man. Right. You say, well, I'm struggling with this, but that other person, they don't seem to be struggling. Listen, they're struggling with something. There's something that there's some temptation there. No one can blame God for putting them in a situation that is above that you're able. The third thing, there is a promised escape in verse number 13. He says, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape. There's something that comes with the temptation, and it is a way to escape. Now, I look at the Bible in a very matter-of-fact sort of way. If God says that with the temptation there comes a way to escape, you know what I believe? With the temptation there comes a way to escape. Our approach to the way of escape will determine whether we fall. Proverbs chapter number 16 and verse 25 says this: there is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Back to the children of Israel in 1 Corinthians 10, how he described them, how all of them came through the Red Sea and all of them came through the cloud, but with many of them God was not pleased, and he highlighted some of the areas where they failed. You know what happened where the failure came? God had a way of escape, but they chose to take and choose their own way of escape. And their own way meant that they were being crushed by the temptation. They were crushed by whatever it was that was besetting them. And because of that, with many of them, God was not well pleased. Go into the promised land and take the promised land. Oh, it's hard. It looks difficult. There are giants in the land. The land's good. It looks great, but we can't do it. We'll just kind of do it our way. Nope, you're not going. See, God had a way, didn't he? But they had to, by faith, choose his way. They had to, by faith, take it. God didn't hide it from them. Some people act like God plays games with them, that he somehow makes things, you know, complicated. You know, we can make things complicated, but God doesn't bring complication. He brings clarity to things. He brings a clear path. You know, if somebody's struggling with something, there's a whole pattern. Now, we don't have time to get into it. If somebody's struggling with a sin, I mean, we can take a look at it. There's a whole pattern of, you know, what to do. You get rid of the bad thing and you replace it with a good thing. You know, that's a pattern that he gave us. That's a way to escape. Pastor Townsley, you know, preached many times, somebody, you know, struggling with, you know, drugs or alcohol or things like that, you know, just coming to church means you're going to stay away from it for a little while. There's a way to escape there. You see, we need to realize that with the temptation, there comes a way to escape. Jesus himself provided the pattern of how to use the way of escape. Now, Jesus was God in flesh. I don't want to detract from that in any way, but you know what? The Bible records how he handled temptation in the book of Matthew chapter 4, for example. And think about this. The Lord sent him into the Holy Spirit led him into the wilderness. Was there 40 days without food. He did all that. I mean, it was, and then he was tempted by Satan himself. We blame the devil on a lot of things. I don't know how much we actually personally deal with him on a day, but Jesus did. And he dealt with him. He was presented with things that would appeal to someone in a time of weakness. If you're hungry, just make those stones bread. He was presented with those things. He was without food. Satan offered a solution. But what did he do? He quoted and obeyed the scripture, and he submitted himself to the will of his heavenly Father. And in doing so, now could he, I think about that and I think, man, this is great. Jesus could have, he could have done anything that he's God. He could have said, earth, open up and swallow Satan. I mean, you know, just, I know, you know, we get into all the ramifications of that, but I'm just saying he had the power, did he not, to do that? But you know what he did? He said, I'm going to do it this way so that Joel Boyle can see there's a way to escape. He can see, so that Central Baptist Church, people can see that there is a way to escape. And it'll be through the scriptures. It'll be through following the will of the Father. Every time of testing or temptation has a way out, doesn't mean that all the circumstances are going to immediately go away. But when we fall, we've got to remember this is not God's fault. It's not his fault. It's, remember the warning, it's to when we think that we stand to take heed lest we fall. When we fall, it's because we tried to escape our own way. Temptation will come. Temptation to sin. Also, testings and trials. And I mean, you're going to deal with temptation in every form and fashion while you live on this earth. If we handle it right, you know what happens? We grow. If we handle it right, we're like Paul running the race, and we can one day finish the race like Paul finished. He said, I fought a good fight. I finished the course. You remember that? And you link that back to 1 Corinthians chapter 9, him in the middle of his race. And then later on in 2 Timothy, talking about he fought a good fight, he kept the faith. He finished what God gave him to do. And I think with Paul, we can look and say God would be well pleased. But you know what? With many of them, he's not well pleased. With many of them, there's many who the temptation knocks them out of the race. Doesn't knock them out of heaven. That's impossible if you're saved. But it knocks them out of the race. I don't want to get knocked out of the race early. I want to be pleasing to the Lord. Dear Lord, we thank you for the day that you've given us.